Welcome to Let's Talk Sales, the podcast that's all things sales and business development. This podcast series is for CEOs that are looking to build strong companies, sales VPs and sales managers that want to take things to the next level, and of course, salespeople that are looking to improve. This podcast is brought to you by Calavia, the sales playbook platform made for your team by your team. The Calavia Sales Playbook houses your company's best practices, templates, and processes, and it also functions as an online sales training academy for your existing salespeople and for new hires. Learn more at calavia.com. That's C-O-L-L-A-V-I-A.com. Today's podcast is part of our CFS Talk Sales Series, where our very own team here at Criteria for Success shares ideas, sales ideas, techniques, tips, and insights for CEOs, sales managers, and salespeople. This series is all about growth, improvement, and producing breakthrough results. This is Rebecca Smith, and I am all jazzed up today because I just got done watching a little quick episode of Crank Yankers, Kav McCauley Phone Zone. So I'm feeling very radio hosty today, and today I'm talking with our very own sales and marketing coordinator, Arianna Miskell.
Hello and good morning.
Thank you for being here today, Arianna.
to keep the radio host theme going.
All right. Now, Arianna, you just published this month's ebook. It's titled Personal Development, Navigating Your Way to Prosperity in Life, Business, and Sales. To our listeners, be sure to grab a copy of her ebook. You can find the link to the ebook in the show notes for today, which is at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod37. So today we're going to talk all about your ebook.
Woohoo!
Very exciting. I want to just go ahead and start jumping in. I know that personal development is a pretty big topic, but it is extremely important. And I think that most of us can agree that we tend to focus a lot on the mechanics, on the sales tips or business tips that are going to help us right now, things that we can apply in terms of selling. And we tend to gloss over things that are about our own individual growth from a much deeper level. So I'm excited to talk to you more about this. And let's get back to you and this beautiful ebook. I'd love to start by asking why you decided to write an ebook on this topic.
Well, that's a very good question. and I will answer by saying that I wanted to write on this topic because of the universal value that personal development can give to a really wide scope of people. I figured anyone from our audience can take away from this ebook. You don't have to be a CEO or a VP of sales to develop yourself. And even the most junior salesperson literally anyone could open this ebook and gain a lot of value from it. So that's why I wanted to write about it.
Awesome. Very cool. And now in your ebook, you focused on four main areas. You talked about how helping others helps you. You talked about some online resources that people can use to continue their personal development and professional development. You had a really cool chapter about making your own best self action plan, which was a really cool thing.
Very fun.
Very different. And then you also talked about getting to know yourself. So a person getting to know themselves through the use of a personality or behavioral assessment. And I really liked how you summarized that really well. So if you are listening in, you're not too familiar with behavioral assessments or you want to learn more, definitely grab this ebook. Arianna breaks down the different types of assessments that are out there and the kind of the pros and cons to each one in terms of your development, right? So I'd love to ask, is there a particular reason why you decided to format your ebook this way? Or I guess said another way, why are these areas so important for sales leaders?
Well, I'll start with how I formatted it. I really wanted to start small. I know myself and I get super excited about ideas. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to write a blog or, you know, I'm going to start an Instagram and take pictures of buildings. But, you know, the excitement fades after, I'll say a month sometimes, maybe even a week, depending on what it is.
Okay.
So I wanted to start small. And the first chapter focuses on how helping others helps you. And it's a great way to kind of get into the mindset of personal development. So I say anything from liking posts on LinkedIn. That is as small as it gets. You know, mm-hmm. it takes 2 seconds. It's pretty fun to read what your connections are saying. It's a great way to get in touch with people, you know, you might not have spoken to in a while. But I just wanted to start small so that you can kind of like get the fulfillment of a little bit of personal development in that aspect of helping others. And then from there, we can move to bigger items.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just go ahead and I want to kind of pause you there to talk about this, because I think that you are definitely onto something with this helping others helps you thing. It kind of, you know, we talk about this a lot in networking, right? When you're networking, it's like you've got a gift to get. And that couldn't be more true.
That is right.
Because you can't expect the universe to provide for you if you aren't willing to help others and provide for others in a way.
And I think we're going to, a little bit farther in the podcast, we're going to talk more about this chapter specifically because of the aspects with networking and all of that stuff. But when I give those examples, you know, it's really helpful to, you want to be the person that everyone's like, yeah, they're the person, they have a great network, they're always helping people, you know I can ask them or I can rely on them without even asking them to introduce someone to me that might be a prospect or something like that. So
definitely. Well, I guess I'll go ahead and ask you that question, which kind of leads us into that, which is a little bit more granular on that section, that helping other section. I obviously love this section in sales. It's so easy to think about ourselves. Where's the next prospect going to come from? Where's our next sale? That next networking event? What am I going to do? Me, me, me. What can I do? How can I make more money? You know, all that stuff that we say. So I'd love for you to share the importance of helping others and why it's so significant. I know you just kind of mentioned it a little bit, but it's deep dive.
So like I said before, you think about that one person, the superstar networker that you know, or just the person that's very active on LinkedIn and they are supporting you when you reach out into LinkedIn and say, can anyone help me with this? And you're kind of like, you know, throwing something out there and you don't know if anyone will answer. And it's just a great little thing of support that people do. I know we do a lot of networking events and speaking engagements, and there are certain people that are always willing to help us. And so in return, we are willing to help them, and we do some speaking engagements that are pro bono, and in the end, we're helping each other. And it's a great way to get both of our names out there, and that's how you really build connections. And then they become the people that are referring to you, and it all came from, you know, an hour of a speaking engagement that you didn't charge anyone for.
Definitely. And of course, you know, we teach LinkedIn classes here at CFS. And one of the things that I love to push and promote during LinkedIn trainings is to encourage people to give recommendations to others without them having to ask.
Yes.
You know, going to someone that you know that you work with a lot, that you love, you trust, you like, whatever the case may be, just write the referral. Just
you know, give Rebecca, a recommendation. I'm gonna follow through with this after, and I'm gonna write you a recommendation on LinkedIn for being a great, great, great manager.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And I definitely think that this is a good practice for people to get into.
I do, and it's also great, you know, when you're looking at people's recommendations, say someone's applying for a job and they're looking at their LinkedIn recommendations and you're the person that made it. Well, that's interesting. Maybe they'll check you out and see what your company's doing, or mm-hmm. you never know. It's just good to have your name out there.
You know, you do never know. I have to share. I don't think that I've even shared this with you yet. I got an email, a promotional email actually, last week from a friend of mine. And he actually, Jeremy Pound, I'll just go ahead and call his name out. He has done a webinar for us on CRM. He is the CRM guru master. So I will throw a link to that webinar replay in the show notes, because it's really cool. But Jeremy's a great guy. I've worked with him a lot. He actually used to be the president of the BNI group that I was in back in the day when I lived in Florida. And he's just a great person. So last year, I don't know, was it the beginning of this year or the end of last year, I decided to throw him a recommendation on LinkedIn. I'm like, you deserve it, man. We've been working together all these years. You're a great person. So anyway, gave him the recommendation. He was so grateful for it. Didn't expect it, you know, and then that was it, right? Well, I got a promotional email from his company last week, and the promotional email was about, you know, here's what other people are saying about me, or here's what people are saying about Juicy Results, which is the name of his company. And my testimonial was one of the ones in the email.
Oh, that's great.
And so it was really cool. You know, it was a neat thing that he was so excited about it. It meant something to him, so much so that he put it in a promotional email. But then, you know, that's just
your name is being sent to everyone in his list. And I don't know if I am just the nosy type. I might be. It might run in my family. But I am always so curious as to who's writing these testimonials and like what they're doing.
Sure.
And kind of to see, I know sometimes you go on websites and there seems to be a lot of testimonials and I'm like, what's the deal with this?
Yeah.
And I just want to see if they're, you know, real, honestly. But it is great to have your name out there. Hello.
And to see real people. Yeah. You and I do a lot of research for for that kind of stuff. We, of course, have a lot of blogs here at CFS, and we also post guest contributor blogs to CFS. So actually, if you're listening and you're interested in being a contributor to the CFS blog, visit the show notes. We'll throw a link in there on how you can be a contributor. But we get tons of people that are interested in contributing. And it's always funny to us when we get the images for the guest blogs, right? Because we'll reverse image search them to make sure that everything seems legit. We do our homework. We got to make sure that we're putting out great content. And I still laugh to this day, Ariana, about the catfish blogger. It's what we call it.
We had one. We had one guy, person. I will say, I don't want to give anything
don't go
away.
Too deeper.
And we did the reverse image search, and plenty of names came up.
The thing that was funny about it, though, was that so basically he sent a stock image. And the stock image appeared on a ton of websites for testimonials.
Yes.
And that's what got us feeling so almost insecure in a way about testimonials.
Yes.
Now, granted, sure, the testimonial could have been real on those websites, but they used a stock image because they obviously, you know, either didn't have an image of the person that wrote the testimonial or they wanted it to look a little bit cleaner, whatever the case may be. Just kind of a funny little story.
The catfish blogger.
The catfish blogger. All right. So let's go back to those four main areas. Did you want to share anything about any of the other sections?
Sure. I think the next chapter was about using online resources. And if you are listening to this podcast, you are already doing this. So congratulations and give yourself a pat on the back. But it's still a great thing to look at because there's so many different things that you can be doing online that you might not know about. And I also dive into kind of the best resources for your time constraints or what you're looking for in terms of how deep you want to dive into learning about a certain topic or pretty much anything. If you want to watch a webinar on your lunch break, that's a lot less engaging than maybe signing up for a online training program, you know, and there's also a lot of free resources and then also paid resources. So it's pretty cool. And you never know, you can take a free class at Harvard or something. So
yeah, you know, a lot of people have been doing that a lot more lately with, what is it? Coursera, I think is one of the,
they have websites. You can read about it in the ebook, but basically some universities have websites for their own online academies, I'll call them, or online universities. And then there are companies that kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? They take all the different courses online that are available and kind of streamline them into categories so that the link will show up on their website, but it'll take you to an external page.
Okay. So it's a little curated.
Yes. Thank you. That is the word I was looking for.
Awesome. Well, that is a very cool thing. And when it comes to development and personal development, sometimes it's going to be more on that professional end of the spectrum. Let's say you want to learn better presentation skills to better yourself, or
email templates. That's pretty operational.
There you go.
CRM.
But at the same time, people also really want to focus, and it's important for people to focus on their own mental development and health, right?
Yes.
I mean, sales is a really stressful, tenuous, you know, job. It's not easy all the time. So it's important for all of us to treat ourselves with care.
Yes. And when you do develop other aspects of your life besides just your professional life, it will show in your professional life. You know, whether it's you're becoming a better communicator or you are trying to dress a little differently or get a new haircut. You know, these things, they might seem like they don't matter for your job, but you'd be surprised how maybe you get a new blazer and you're walking a little bit more confidently. And at a networking event, that can mean the world. So
definitely. I was just actually watching a video yesterday that talks about some of the stuff that you're getting to by Jim Quick. And he has this presentation on the top things that you should do every morning. And it almost made me feel like I don't know anything. Because he had 10 things that he does the first hour that he's awake, where it's, you know, wake up in the morning and the first thing that you should do is make your bed. Because if you make your bed, you've already accomplished one thing.
That I think I spoke about. I speak about this exactly. I speak about this in my ebook. That's so funny. It was
I remember that in the cleanliness section.
Yes, about the best self action plan, which we will get to, but it was the commencement speech for, I think, West Point or Texas A&M University. And it was a Navy SEAL general. And he was talking about how if you make your bed, you're setting yourself up to accomplish things throughout the day. Because it, like you said, it's the first thing that you accomplish. Yeah. I always make my bed after seeing that.
Yeah. So he wakes up and he writes down his dreams. And he said that, you know, when he goes to sleep, a lot of times you're thinking in your subconscious about all the things that you've done during the day. And he said sometimes things work itself out during the night. And so he writes them down. I don't know if I would want to write down my dreams. So I think they're all nightmares. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, he writes – I thought you meant he writes down his – dreams, like his future goals.
So immediately when he wakes up.
I always write down my dreams.
He writes down his dreams.
I have them all on my phone. They're pretty weird. But
a dream log.
Yes, because they're so weird. Sometimes I'm like, I have to write that down. Because maybe one day people will be able to like dissect exactly what our dreams mean. You never know, but I always write them down.
It's an interesting one though. So it's, you know, things like that, like writing down your dreams, making your bed, certain stretching routines, and all these different things.
And I mean
some of it, sure, you're going to have time for, but I don't know about you. I roll out of there and I'm like on a mission to get to
you
work.
You got to be a special type of person to start doing yoga poses in the morning. And if you do,
good for you.
Another pat on the back because.
Come teach me how to do that.
My dad actually sent us last night in the family group chat a YouTube video about positive affirmations that you should listen to either when you wake up or before you go to bed. I think it's probably useful. I'm not the kind of person. I don't think I take myself seriously enough to like.
Everybody has their own thing. I definitely have played around with the affirmations at night before going to bed. Because I do think that what you think right before you go to sleep matters. Mm-hmm. It definitely affects your dreams, which is probably why I wake up with such crazy dreams. And you do too.
Yes.
So thinking about that. But there's been other times where I've done affirmations that actually made me feel worse before I went to sleep. Because then it gets you thinking about things that are so deep you didn't want to think about right before you went to bed, right?
Am I doing things right? Like, did everything I do in the past 10 years like make sense? Yeah.
I think the moral of the story is you have to find what works for you. It's not going to be the same for every person. And the point is just focusing on it. And like you said, creating your own best self action plan.
Yes,
because no one can create that for you.
Let's dive into this because this is the perfect lead-in. Basically, I made up a best self action plan because, like I said earlier, I am the type of person that I will get so excited about doing something and then it'll fade out and I will maybe like do a few aspects of it now and then, but at the same time, I'm not doing it. So I created a best self action plan. And it revolves around personal goals and professional goals. And I put an example in the ebook that included everything from making your bed to maybe it could be such a weird thing that you want to do, like dust your baseboards once a week. I don't know. But put that on your plan. And then slowly these things will become habits. And the point is to check them off to make sure that you're doing them. And if you don't do them, you'll know. And you can kind of hold yourself accountable. And then before you know it, these things will be habits and you'll be like, wow, I dust my baseboards once a week and I don't even think about it anymore. And it's so clean and great.
So. And there you go. I think that's something that we don't think about in the same way as an adult as when we're kids. Because I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I had a chore chart.
Yes.
And that chore chart told me everything that I needed to do and I checked it off and it was over. As an adult, you know, we're the ones creating
the chores. Never end. The chores never end.
Yeah, they do never end.
But that's the difference.
Yeah. But in a sense, we need to create our own checklists for creating habits.
Yes.
And also improving ourselves.
And the point is to, it kind of is like when you get home from work and you're sitting in your apartment, and I can't, if my apartment or home, since a lot of people don't live in apartments and they have.
And not, if you're not in New York City, you don't live in a box.
And you don't live in a tiny studio apartment like myself. But sometimes when I'm sitting in my box, I'm thinking like, oh, there's a dust bunny under there, or like, oh.
Hey, at least you don't have to go far.
Right. True. I could like reach with one arm. But I just think about all the things that I have to do. And it's so overwhelming. And this is the same thing with tasks at work. If you have too much to do and you don't know where to start, it's like, it's a crippling. There's nowhere to go. And that's why having a plan like this, it kind of breaks apart the small little tasks that you want to make sure you're doing and make sure you do them without stressing about it.
So let's talk about that for a second, which is what you said about there's so many lists. We always have things to do. And I know that we've been talking more lately about the millennial workforce and millennials in the workplace and stuff. And I think that a lot of millennials have this technology fatigue now. We're all so tired of looking at our phones, right?
And computers.
And computers. You're on your computer all day. You're checking things off on your wonder list or whatever you use for your lists, or on your calendar, whatever it is. And then you get home and you sit on the couch, and what's the first thing that you do? You pull up social media, you're looking at Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever you're looking at, and you're not, or if you're looking at LinkedIn, whatever it is, you're not disconnecting. And I think that that's just an important thing for us to
It's funny you say about. This too, because I was just talking to my sister about this, and she is a year older than me, so she's 24, soon to be. Happy birthday, Victoria, if you're listening. But we were saying how if we make a list of things we need to do and it's on our computer, we won't look at it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. It's just like another thing. There's so much going on my computer. It stresses me out. And so if I need to get things done or if I need to keep track of something, I want to write it down. Mm-hmm. And I want to tape it in front of my face so that it's always there. Like the best self action plan,
you know.
You'll never, or put it on your refrigerator or next to your door when you're leaving for work. And so you can just, it's a reminder, because it's so easy to just, if you have it in a tab on your phone or on your computer, it's so easy to not look at it. You're kind of just like, it's another tab.
Definitely. You kind of need to have it out and present in order to remember it. Some people like to use post-it notes for that kind of thing.
Yes.
They'll stick post-it notes on the back of their door. The front door, just to make sure that
phone, keys, wallet.
I know Charles does that from time to time. But I like to do that too when you know, not just about things that you need to remember to bring with you, but even to remember to have a good day, remind yourself, have a good day, or focus on your, you know, best self action plan today, getting those things done. It's all important.
Yes.
But I think also remembering to disconnect from technology at some point should be something that is in your plan, because it will definitely help you to regenerate.
That is true. Maybe read a book, an actual book, not an ebook, or print my ebook out, you know, and you can just read it like an old fashioned book.
There you go. There you go. I do think that that's important too, you know, to balance reading digitally versus reading in print.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for your eyes, and your brain, for all of that. But, you know, we're also very lucky that we have technology.
Yes.
The way that we do. And it's so easy to just jump on and.
How do people book flights before the internet? That's what I still have yet to figure out.
How do people travel? No, I remember going to AAA with my parents as a kid, and they print out every single page of your entire journey from Florida to Canada and highlight the routes. And it's crazy. I'll have to show you what that used to be. You don't even know. You're young.
I really don't. And I just realized that I can't imagine. Like, did you go to a ticket booth to get a plane ticket? Someone let me know. Please email us at podcast.
The things that millennials don't know.
Yeah, you can tweet me and let me know what used to happen.
How to fly. All right. So let's jump into since we're on technology still. Let's keep the conversation going about the learning resources chapter. You gave really great tips. And of course, I don't want to give them away. And you spoke to a little bit of it. But I want to hone into this massive learning tool that we have in our hands. We hold in our hands each and every day that I'm telling you to put away sometimes, which is your smartphone. Continuing to learn and develop as individuals is obviously important. And how much time we spend doing these activities is pretty important. So I'd like to ask you about that. What do you think about that? How much time should our listeners spend doing the activities that you mentioned in the resources section? Should this be something they're doing on a daily basis, weekly, bi-monthly, monthly? How can they best organize their time to focus on their continued learning?
So I think this is very personal. Okay. And for each person, it's different. I know myself, if I don't have something that's stimulating enough, I won't spend the hour time block I have reading an ebook. You know, mm-hmm. if I'm not interested in it, I'm going to go do the work that I should be doing. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's like if you find something that you really like, you could spend hours learning about it. And I think that it's a balance. It's more so about maybe setting goals for I want to read one blog post each morning before I check my emails, or I want to listen to a weekly podcast like this and stay up to date on it weekly. I think those are better goals to have than time, because I remember we were talking about going to the gym once.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once.
Once, only once. We but never
we
did it again.
We were talking about how it's so hard to go to the gym if you say, like, I'm going to go to the gym for an hour. All mm-hmm. you're thinking about is
the time.
Oh, what time is it? Can I go back to my apartment and eat tacos? Instead of saying, you know, I'm going to go to the gym, run a quick mile, and maybe afterwards I'll do, I don't know, whatever else happens at the gym. I'll do something else. I'll lift some weights. I don't know. But it's like instead of forcing yourself to spend time on something where you're probably not going to get as much out of it because you don't want to be doing it, I think it's better to find a kind of niche that you prefer and stay up to date on it. And sure. and set goals that way. And if you're a sales manager, you know, and you find an ebook online that you love, maybe you can start a program with your sales reps where once a week you assign an ebook or a podcast or a webinar for them to read, listen to, or watch. And then in a weekly sales meeting, you guys can discuss the content and how it applies to your team and how maybe someone used it in a certain way. And then that way it's a little bit more actionable than I'm just going to read a blog. And realistically, sure. I'm going to skim it because I want to check my email that I know has 200 in my inbox.
Sure. That's a great idea. I love that. Have the sales manager, you know, and it could even come from the salespeople themselves to say, you know, everyone rotates every week or something like that.
And nominating.
Nominating the article right. or the resource that they're sharing, or just add it to your sales playbook.
Yes.
You know, you could add it to a page in the playbook, which that actually leads me into the next question, which is, of course, we're a digital sales playbook organization. And so I'd love to know the role that personal development plays when it comes to a sales playbook and some ideas on how our listeners can apply personal development to the playbook. So do you have any tips or advice that you can pass along?
So going off of what I just said about team meetings and having resources that everyone should read or watch or listen to, it's a great idea to add it to a certain page in your playbook. Maybe you have one built out that revolves around, so this is the ebook that we're reading this week, or this is a link to the blog. Everyone check it out. Maybe comment and tell us what you think, or what's like one thing that you learned or a key takeaway from this, maybe a quote. I don't know, whatever is easiest for your team. Or maybe you can have a forum in your playbook where your team can discuss these resources more in depth and kind of ask questions about them, or even just ask questions about anything where other team members can answer and help them. Helping other people helps you, right? And it can kind of be your own internal forum where your team members can help each other.
That's a great idea, because there is a lot of power in the power of the team, right? There's a lot of power in collaboration. And we definitely know that firsthand and encourage it and know that our best clients are companies where all the salespeople are working together.
And it's built into our playbook name. Collavia is the way to collaborate.
Yes.
So we love collaboration and it's very, very important. And especially in this day and age with sales, you know, it has to be a good culture. So collaboration is crucial.
For sure. Especially, you know, you just mentioned in today's culture, I think we talked a little bit about this technology fatigue and stuff like that. And people are feeling more disconnected than ever, they say. So it's important to have instruments and tools where people can sincerely come together to
yes. work on something. Get your team away from their desks, away from sitting in front of a screen and have them work together. And that's a great way to learn more things and to kind of get the ideas flowing.
Sure. So, and if you're listening and you're a salesperson, you're saying, I ain't got time for that. I don't, you know, I need to be out selling. I don't have time to be focused on my other people on my team, these other people that are selling. I just want to say to you that it will make you better. Work with other people. It will make you better. We want to talk about personal development. The best way to develop as a person is to work with other people.
Because they're doing things that you're not, and you're doing things that they're not. And imagine if you were all doing things that exactly. everyone was doing, and exactly. you would be accomplishing so much more.
We all have different personalities, right?
Yes.
So that's an important part of this.
Speaking of personalities, behavioral assessments are the coolest thing in the world.
Yes.
Which I also talk about in this ebook.
Yes.
I am obsessed with behavioral assessments. Again, it might be because I'm nosy, and I can be nosy about myself, but I had to take a behavioral assessment when I applied to CFS, and I was a little nervous. I was like, oh God, what's going to come up? Like, are they going to not hire me because I'm crazy or something? I don't know. But it was so interesting just seeing kind of like – I learned things I didn't know about myself. Like I actually act the same way when I know I'm being watched. Not watched, but for example, on this podcast, I'm speaking the same way I would to, I think, my friends.
Okay.
For the most part. Uh-huh. And that was cool to learn because it kind of made me feel more calm when I'm – communicating with people like at an interview or whatever, because I'm like, hey, I'm gonna just rely on what I know and what okay. I do, and
good,
you yeah. know, it kind of helped me out a little bit.
That's a big one. Yeah. And I think the keys to motivating section is a really big one.
That is key.
Did that one help you at all?
I don't remember. I don't remember off the top of my head because it's so long.
In some ways, it's almost validating when you read the results of a behavioral assessment. That's what I remember
you're
about
like, keys oh. to motivating.
I remember looking at it and going, yep, exactly. Those are all of the things that motivate me to do things.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a cool thing. If you're a manager, definitely, definitely assess your team. It will help you to learn who they are as human beings better.
How they work together.
Sure. And which people are going to work the best together.
And how you work with them.
Mm-hmm. We love Group Wheel too, yeah. Which is something that we do here through CFS. We actually provide behavioral assessments, of course. So I'll throw that in the show notes. If you've never done one, or if you want to, you know, assess your team again, this is a great time to do it, you know, at the beginning of the year like this. Actually, any time is a great time.
Seriously, these are the coolest anytime. Things in the world. And when I first got mine back, I read it for like hours. I just think that it's so interesting to learn about
how you function. But it's a good thing because it's something that you always use as an individual, yes. but then also your manager. I know that I look at yours all the time to see, all
oh
right,
my gosh,
let me see. Yeah, let me see what the best way is to communicate,
yep.
because that's something that's important. You and I communicate together, but we don't
yes.
communicate the same way.
Yes.
So I want to know the best way that I can communicate with you.
Yes.
Right? So that's what it helps me to do as a manager looking at a behavioral assessment. So it's a really cool thing. And I mentioned Group Wheel. You can actually take your entire team, and your entire team will be put on the same wheel so that you can look and see who is who, who's what type, kind of who's the most similar. Interesting.
And it's really interesting too, because I just thought of this, like dealing with clients or dealing with prospects, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Salespeople tend to have similar personalities, I'll say, not exactly the same, but give or take, it's you have to be kind of one of a certain kind to be in sales, I could say, generally. But the people that you're selling to are not necessarily even in the same realm as mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. So like imagine you're selling to, I don't know, your prospect could be a preschool principal,
okay.
I'll say. They are not the hardcore salesperson, high D personality. They're going to be a different sell, and you can't expect to communicate with these people the same way you mm-hmm. would expect to communicate with yourself, your colleagues, mm-hmm. or anything. So it's a great way to look at our DISC reports show. Let's say you're selling to someone that is pretty low on the dominance scale, or they are I don't know, they're just more reserved.
Yeah.
It would tell you exactly how you need to alter your communication or to play up certain parts of your strengths to sell to a specific person. And I think that is so useful because a lot of times it's easy to sell to yourself. You can convince yourself, yeah, Ariana, go out and buy yourself a cheeseburger for lunch today. You know, like, you know how to sell to yourself. It's just, it's really cool to see into the minds of others.
Of others, definitely. And I think it's really cool with the behavioral assessments that we do. There's also video included that explains all of these things. So you can learn about every different type of personality that exists, mm-hmm. what motivates them, kind of how they think, that type of thing. If this were something that was done in a group setting, for example, when we work with customers on our sales growth programs, this is actually part of our initial sales training. So when we go in, we do a sales training, and then Elizabeth here at our office, she does the session on behavioral assessments. So everyone has taken their behavioral assessments before this session. She goes through everything, and it's a really cool experience.
And I just want to say too that I had to take two different types of behavioral assessments. I took DISC and the Myers-Briggs indicator type mm-hmm. when I was in college. And there's so many free ones online, but they do not provide you with, I would say, a tenth of the insight that a paid one does.
Level, right?
Oh, it's completely different. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you might get similar results, but you will not know. You'll just know that Steve Jobs might have the same personality type as you, maybe, if it's real. But but you won't. It's just so much easier to learn if you like really invest in yourself.
Yeah, definitely. There's something about the questions, you know, it asks you more questions, more detailed questions.
And it's related to sales.
Sure. It's related, exactly. And there are actually, that you bring up a good point. There are different behavioral assessments. So there are assessments for salespeople specifically. There are ones for executives, managers. There are ones for people in customer service.
Huge.
Team building. There are many different versions of the assessment. So definitely, if you're interested in this, check it out. It's a really great
It really way. Is so cool.
No,
I'm not even just saying this. It's so much fun.
We both get so excited about that because it really is a neat thing. And it's something that helps us so much in our day-to-day.
I just like knowing about myself too. I don't know if that makes me selfish, but
that makes you focus on personal development.
That is right.
Now, I know we could certainly talk about your ebook all day in this topic, but instead I'm going to encourage our listeners to get out there and download a copy. Again, the ebook is called Personal Development, Navigating Your Way to Prosperity in Life, Business, and Sales. And it can be found on today's show notes at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod37. Ariana, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's always a blast.
Awesome. And thank you so much for listening to today's show. Again, one last time, you can find the notes for today's show at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod37.
And don't forget to tell me how people used to book plane tickets, please.
Somebody please send Ariana an email at amiskel@criteriaforsuccess.com. And that's M-I-S-K-E-L.
Yes.
Yeah. Send her an
email. Can't wait to hear from you.
And be sure to tune in on Friday for a very special inspiration about personal development. And of course, tune in next week for a Sales Leaders Talks Sales episode with a very special interview with David Mamano. He is the entrepreneur coach, and he is also the host of the Avanti podcast. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And all month, we're talking about personal development on the CFS blog. So check that out, criteriaforsuccess.com. If you like what you're hearing, we would love it if you could throw us a star, 5-star.
Not just one star.
Yeah, not one star. Throw us 5 stars on an Apple podcast. We would really, really appreciate it. And be sure to subscribe. Let's Talk Sales is a production of Criteria for Success, and it's produced by myself here, Rebecca Smith, Ariana Miskel, and Elizabeth Frederick. Thanks so much for listening, and happy selling out there, and happy development.